This is Larry London, and I welcome you to Border Crossings on VOA Television. Today, we are joined by a TV star who is also a country music star, and she's been working now for the last few years recording her albums, and she's got some new music out. We welcome Cassie Joy to the Voice of America, to the worldwide audience. Cassie, nice to have you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on.
Now, I read where you're living in your tour bus. That doesn't look like a tour bus.
No. So right now we're actually with some friends in Nashville. We have the bus still winterized right now, which is a whole process because we've been flying to a lot of dates recently. So yeah, the joy ride is she's taking a little nappy nap right now.
And so how has the tour been going that you've been on? Because I know you've performed with so many, Maren Morris and Keith Urban and so many other artists. I mean, how is your tour going?
Yeah, we've been so fortunate. We bought the bus in at the end of 2019, and then pandemic hits. But we kind of made lemonade out of lemons, and we ended up doing a campground tour because that was kind of the only venue that was open where you could stay socially distanced and people could just like honk their horns instead. And it was kind of like a drive-in experience. So we actually stayed really busy in 2020, which is crazy, and even busier 2021. And then 2022 is going to get busy, but right now kind of doing a little bit of a slowdown period where we can just be in Nashville and write more and, you know, not just be constantly on the road.
And you've been doing this since you were 5 years old?
Yeah. Yep. Started singing when I was five. I was really, really bad. And just kept telling my parents like, it's going to work. It's going to work. And they just supported me tenfold. And my mom was my momager for years. And then, yeah, just haven't really left the stage since.
And so you write your own.
My puppy is wanting out of this room.
I have a puppy too. I have a brand new puppy.
What kind?
It's a multi-poo. It's a mix. So she's not here. You know, she was the last interview, but she's not right now. She's downstairs, but she's 2.5 pounds. She'll get to 7 pounds. What do you have?
I have, her name is Tuna Fish. She is, she's a pit, lab, cattle dog, boxer, Rottweiler, literally all the way down to Shih Tzu, Chow Chow, Basset Hound. So she's a fish, pretty much.
Oh my God. That sounds like one big party to have all that.
It is. And then we have a very high maintenance Chihuahua named Danny Boy. And he he does not like when I do interviews because he doesn't know who I'm talking to. So he's hiding.
Very jealous, huh? Very jealous.
Very.
So you are, obviously, you're an animal rights activist. You're supportive of animal care and causes. And you also support children. And you're a part of the Cancer Society. I guess you do a lot of fundraising and work for the American Cancer Society. So, I mean, you do a lot. How do you spread yourself so thinly when now you've got new music and a tour and you're doing the charity work and your activism? How does that all fit together in your life?
Yeah, well, I don't sleep. yeah, between that and having a puppy, I haven't slept in a bit. But yeah, as far as the charity work goes, children and rescue animals, just animals in general, my big thing is to give a voice to the voiceless. And I have a bachelor's in education, so children have always been very near and dear to my heart and their welfare. So I have a hard time saying no to any of those opportunities, even if I'm like on the other side of the country. I'm like, yeah, I'll just pop right back real quick and then go back to Nashville and, you know.
Then you got your degree at a college that you earned a scholarship to through athletics. So you're quite an athlete.
Yeah. I did sports my whole life. And so I did soccer, track, and then I was on the dance team. Started to get a little burnt out with soccer. That was like my main end all be all in high school. And then I got offered a track scholarship to Park University. And I had never in my life planned on going to college. I'm not a school type person. But I was like, well, I'll go run track, I guess that'll be fun. And so I did that, got the degree. I was actually singing in a rock band at that time. But I graduated and when I graduated college, I went solo and back to country music.
I think it's fair to say that you like to be busy. That's obviously the moral of your story, is you like to be doing a lot of things, you know, and the puppy's good training for when you want to be a mommy, you know, waking up at all hours. So, you know, let's talk about the show you were on, The Voice, and you ended up being on Team Blake Shelton, and being somebody who's in country music, that's the perfect team to be on, because nobody knows country better on that panel than Blake Shelton. And so how did it come to be that you ended up on The Voice?
I had put out a cover of Jolene on my YouTube channel. And what's hilarious is, like, in the video, Danny, my crazy chihuahua, was like gnawing on my arm like half the video, like chihuahuas do. And I'm on vacation in Minnesota with my family, and we get a call from the executive producers, and they're like, we saw your cover of Jolene, and if you can be to LAX in 2 days, we'll give you a private audition. And at first we were like, you know, I'm an independent musician, and that is a very expensive flight to get to LAX in 2 days. But my family all, you know, just pulled around me, and we got some funds together, and they drove me all the way to Minneapolis to fly out of there. And then the rest was history.
Wow, that's a great story. And you grew up in Kansas City,
mm-hmm.
and we call it Missouri, right? I mean, if you're local and you know, it's Missouri.
You know what? No, it's Missouri. But I do appreciate that you knew that it was Kansas City, Missouri, not Kansas.
Yes, yes.
That side.
Right, no, because I had lived in Kansas for a little bit.
Really?
I lived in Columbia, Missouri. I lived in St. Louis, Missouri. And so, you know, I've done that.
Wow.
In the I-70, the I-70 drive. Yeah.
So I'm
familiar with that. But we're talking with Cassie Joy, who is one of the newer names in country music, but she's certainly making a very big mark. 35 million YouTube views already achieved for your latest video, which leads me to ask you if you wouldn't mind doing a song for us.
Sure.
Oh. I'd like to hear some. Hey, you just happen to have the guitar there. What a coincidence.
So weird.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, this is my latest single that I released, called Senses Fail. And I kind of wrote it about, I've always been really obsessed with, like, how the five senses are what, like, brings all these memories back. Like, smelling a candle, or, you know, or someone's cologne that, like, from years ago, you're like, whoa, I'm back in high school now. And so I sat down and wrote a song about it, and I'm super proud of it.
All right. And it's called?
Senses Fail.
Senses Fail. Cassie Joy, live here on Border Crossings.
I've been doing fine. I got my mind off you years ago. Put the box on the shelf. I'm doing well under neon glow. And a song comes on that makes me think of you. But when I hear it now, it's out too. And I smell cheap cologne, and I'm alone in a crowd.
Just shades of you. I guess it's not time that I need.
That sounds great. I love it. The new single, it's called Senses Fail, and that is released as a single. So it's not on your last EP, which was your second EP, but right. It might end up on the next EP or album.
Yes, and that is the goal. I've got 4 singles that I've released that are not on anything physical yet. And oddly enough, my fans are still wanting hard CDs. And so they're always like, where can we get the money? Your Senses Fail. And I'm like, it's coming. So that's kind of one of the reasons we're slowing down on the touring schedule so that I can finish out this album and then get those songs on something.
Are you still with Disney Hollywood Records? I know they signed you after the show.
Well, I was actually with Disney when I was like 14. So I've been in rock music, now I'm in country. I did the pop thing for a little bit, like headset and dance moves and all. And then that's what actually led to me being in rock music. It's a whole thing. But yeah, I've just always kind of just whatever opportunity was in front of me since I was little, it was, you know, let's try everything and just see what sticks. But I've always come back to country.
Why country? What was it? I mean, being a Missouri girl, is that what draw you into country music?
It's actually my mom. She was my momager for years, and you know, she was just trying to find any opportunity for me to sing that wasn't like at the mall, which I frequented a lot, singing at the mall. But she would find me these Midwestern, like this Midwestern Opry circuit where I would go around the country and get to sing classic country music. So that's when I learned to yodel. That's when I learned about Patsy Cline and Brenda Lee and Tanya Tucker and Leon Rimes, all these artists that got so successful as children. And so that was a really big motivator for me. Tuna fish.
Well, you know, tuna fish might not enjoy this or appreciate this, but I'm going to ask you if you could yodel since you know how to yodel.
Sure. Here, I'll just grab.
Give us some yodeling. Probably tuna fish might accompany you if I, you know, like most dogs.
Yeah, can you at least learn the right key to yodel in tuna? All right, so I went across to Switzerland where all the yodelers be to try to learn to yodel with my yodelody. I climbed a big mountain on a clearing Sunday. Had a yodeling gal up in the little Swiss chalet. She taught me to yodel, yodel.
Oh, that's great. Thank you for indulging me. Now, for anybody who thinks that's easy, no. I dare them to try that. That's hard.
It's even harder to practice because you can imagine what the dogs think, what my husband thinks. They're like, can you go somewhere else?
Well, I love that. And something else you've done that has, you know, obviously gotten a lot of attention is you sung the national anthem at a number of different sporting events, which I hear, because I've never experienced it, but at a stadium, it's extra difficult not only to stay on tune, but you've got the echo or the delay or the reverb of the stadium speakers.
Yes, it's crazy. I just did the Chiefs game recently, and I don't know what was different, but I had to crank my in-ears because I could still hear my future self or delayed self or whatever. But yeah, I've been doing the like Royals and Chiefs games since I was little. And my very first one was a Royals game, and I was like 14 or 15. And I kid you not, my mom almost came down to the field because she thought I was like having an episode because I was singing so slow because it'd be, oh, say, can you? It was so awkward. It was like the longest anthem that's ever lived.
Cassie Joy is our guest. And so having been in so many different formats that you mentioned, you tried all different genres. How does the writing change as a songwriter? Do you write differently for country than you did for pop or rock?
I think between country and pop, there's kind of it's starting to kind of intertwine a little bit. So not too much differently, but you know, with country, there's a lot more honesty and just say it like it is. You don't need to make it all pretty and metaphorical and make people like read between the lines. With country music, you're telling a dang story. It's three chords and the truth, brother. But with rock music, it's definitely different, you know, totally different chord progressions and, you know, but it's been a hot minute since I've written some rock music.
If you had to give up writing or singing, which would you choose to give up?
Why'd you have to go there?
Choose between your two kids, right? You know,
right?
How can you choose?
Singing and performing is my absolute first love. I've been singing much longer than I've been writing. I guess, well, my first song I wrote was in third grade, which hopefully no one will ever hear. But yeah.
You ever go back and visit those songs, the old songs you wrote when you were little?
I do. I mean, I still remember a lot of them, unfortunately. Not my finest work, but
no. Can't write a love story when you're in third grade, I guess.
No, but it was about my best friend moving away, so.
Well, that resonates. That resonates. Yeah. Cassie Joy has some new music out, and if you wouldn't mind doing another song, we would love to hear something else from you.
Sure. So yeah, this was my second to latest single that I've released. I can't keep track of time at all anymore. But this was my song, Namaste. And it's a breakup song, but like before, so it's like a custody battle, but like you don't have kids and you don't have a house. It's like, who's getting the dog? Who's getting the bar, mainly? And so here is Namaste. I get the dog, you get the fancy whiskey, but we agreed to split the bar up 50-50.
Namaste.
Tulasi Joy and Namaste, which, by the way, is a greeting in India. I don't know if you know that.
I do. I was honestly a little worried that I might get canceled with that song, but...
But we're broadcasting in India right now. So there's, you know, I mean, of one of the 100 countries we're in, India is one of them. And so you'll get some feedback. Yeah. I'm sure it'll be good because, you know, I'm always saying namaste to our Indian listeners. So
right.
That's great.
Sure.
How did you come up with that title?
Well, you know, there's all the shirts that are like namaste in bed, namaste here, namaste there. And I was like, how about beer though? And then I wrote it with my, my guitarist, Zach Horde, in my band, and then his wife, Michelle. And we just got to talking, over some wine. I guess it should have been beer, but, I'm like, I want to write a song with this line. I brought like half of the chorus to them, and we just started talking about like, you know, neither one of us like have gone through like a custody battle or have kids or anything. And so we kind of made it more lighthearted about like who's getting the bar and, you know, what nights of the week is this person getting the bar? And then what happens when they walk in and it's your night. So namaste.
Have you ever written a song about a guy that you dated while you were dating or after? And then did they know that it was about them?
I think that the people that I've written about probably... No, I write pretty detailed, but they can deal with it.
They can deal with it. They can deal
Bring
with it.
Bring it on repeat.
Where is the most unusual place you got inspiration for a song?
Oh, well, my song Red Lips, which is on my first EP, was... No, actually, a weirder one was Dandelion, and that's also from that first EP. I am gonna take you outside. I wrote a song called Dandelion. I'm always really obsessed with dandelions and how I really like them better when they're dead. I think they're prettier that way. And I was actually walking a mile in the rain to get hairspray because priorities. And that's Absolutely. Another story. But on my walk in the rain to get hairspray, I'm seeing all these dandelions. I'm like, there's a song in there. And so that's kind of how that song came out of, you know, maybe Ooh. We're more like a dandelion right at the start, but even prettier dying.
That's a great story. That's a great story. Well, you'll stay alive for many, many, many years. And the hair thing, I mean, I obviously you have to notice you have red hair, and that seems to be, you know, the thing now is a lot of artists are dyeing their hair. I mean, Billie Eilish colored her hair red for a bit. And I know you got Ed Sheeran, you got Jess Glenn, you got a lot of people who have red hair. And so it's not an uncommon thing anymore in music.
Right, right. Yeah, my husband wants me to dye my hair blonde. I'm like, this is all you're getting. You get one little blonde.
One strand. That's what you're worth. That's great. That's great. So let's go back to being on The Voice. Blake Shelton said some great things about you, and he gave you some great comments and compliments. And I know that you were also one of the few artists that have gotten all four judges' chairs to turn around. For those that don't know the nature of the show and our, you know, international audience, there are four judges and the singer sings while they're facing, their back is to the artist. They don't know what the artist looks like. And if they like that artist and want to try and get them on the team, they turn their chair around. So all of the judges turned for you, which is a tremendous thing. That's got to make you feel great. And then you ended up on Blake's team.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, like... I didn't even expect to get one chair turned because I have never thought that, like, especially with The Voice, like, I thought I would have a better shot with, like, American Idol because I have a lot of energy, like, stage presence and dancing around is my thing. But I'm like, oh, no, with The Voice, like, that part of me is gone. And I don't know if my voice is, like, unique enough and, like, are they going to understand the yodeling? Again, thanks, Mom. That was her idea. and so when one chair turned right away, like Gwen turned right away, and I was like, what in the hoozy whatty? Like, how do I even keep singing at this point? And then they just kept going, and I'm like, pfft. And then to get to, you know, look to my left, and my whole family is there supporting me. And, you know, they walked me up on my first stage, my very first show. And then for them to be a part of the biggest stage I've ever been on was just, I think that was the biggest, most specialist part.
And it's a difficult thing to do, to be so vulnerable, to expose yourself to the criticism in front of 30 million viewers or how many people watching on the TV show. You know, that's got to be very dehumanizing, because there you are and you have to be brought down out of the clouds.
Yeah, that was definitely the first experience of like, oh, they really mean what they said when like, don't read the comments, because, you know, the battle rounds and the knockouts, the 50% are going to be mad of either way that it goes. And so you read some real not cute things about yourself, but
right.
Now, but what to was get the, that, oh, go ahead.
No, the best advice you got, who gave you it? And what was the best advice coming out of that show?
You know, I think, so my surprise mentor was Luke Bryan. Like, I died on the spot. His teeth are so white. But he told me, he noticed that I was singing down to the crowd a lot, because I'm used to either being on the ground level, or like I was playing down on Broadway at the time in Nashville. And so the crowd's usually below you. And he said, like, don't be afraid to like open up and sing up. Like, you know, when you're on live TV, there's people up there, there's people everywhere. So that was really helpful and something that I definitely still try to remember to this day.
Now, what's the plan for the album? I mean, do you have a, you said you had an idea or that's the goal, but is there a plan for 2022 for an album, or just touring with singles, or what's your plan?
There's definitely a plan for an album. But for the first time in my life, now this is recorded, which is good. I'm going to hold myself to it, but I'm not going to work backwards like I usually do. I usually like to give myself a deadline and like, oh my God, freak out, like to get everything done. But this time I just kind of want to like really, really hone in on these songs, and I want to write way too many songs so that we have, you know, options to choose from. So right now, just my main focus is writing. And, you know, I do, of course, have a tour schedule still, but it's not as psychotic as we've been doing. You know, after 2020, we just said yes to every single gig. And then we would have a panic attack when we looked at the map later of like, we're going here, 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 back to there, you know. So we're just trying to, you know, just really hone in on the songwriting on this first half of the year, I think. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite artist, both alive and not alive, that you would be on your top of your collaboration list?
I'm unhealthily obsessed with Tyler Childers at the moment. Mm-hmm. Just super into his songwriting. He's, you know, he's able to write really dark stuff, but still with like you're dancing until you like start to notice what we're dancing about. And you're like, oh, I'm really sad now. Right. And I love songwriters that can do that. So he would be at the tip top. And well, of course, Taylor Swift. Duh.
That's great. Well, who knows? Maybe the next album, your album that's coming out might include a few surprises.
That would be cool. Girl wouldn't give.
That's right. That's right. All right. Would you do another song for us?
Sure. So this was the first single that I released of the singles since doing the EPs and everything. And I think after the pandemic, this one became even more relatable about, so this is The Money. And I wrote it about, how everyone says like, it ain't about the money, there's more to life than money. And I'm like, yeah, that's because you have it. It ain't about the money. Yeah, we're all just chasing that grain. It ain't about the money. Yeah, we're living the American dream. While the wolves hit the door and I'm hiding on the floor and I'm robbing Peter to pay Paul. It ain't about the money, unless you just don't got it at all. Well, cash talks, they say, but all my never says is goodbye. When good vibes don't pay, I just keep selling miles of that line. My truck's about to get repoed. It ain't about the money. It's a true story. Yeah, I'm dodging numbers I don't know. While the wolf's on the line trying to take my last dime, so I'm robbing Peter to pay Paul. It ain't about the money, unless you just don't care.
If you got a full tank of gas, it ain't about the money. If you got a drink in your glass, 'cause you woke up and ache it to live another day. Yeah, the writing's all on the wall. It ain't about the money. No, it ain't about the money at all. It ain't about the money. No, it ain't about the money at all.
Cassie Joy, sounding great. And I was just reading about you. You did an interview in April where you revealed all the things that people don't know about you. You're afraid of needles. You're a techie and you love spicy food.
Oh yeah. That's an addiction for sure.
Now, one thing I want to ask you, because you're supporting the, the suicide hotline or the suicide awareness campaign, you've been connected to that. How did that play into your life? That, you know, I mean, can you get personal for a minute and tell me why is there a connection with the suicide aspect of the charities that you're working with?
Yeah, I actually did have my cousin committed suicide years ago. And so I just really wanted to get behind that, spread awareness, and just mental health in general is just not talked about enough. You know, people throw around the word crazy and it's become a stigma, and it is still your real health. Like it's something that we can get through if you're able to be open about it and talk with other people about it. And I think that just by having more people with a microphone, so to speak, talking about it and saying like, it's okay to not be okay. And it's okay to reach out for help. I think it's just really important. And I'm starting to see a change in how people are dealing with mental health. I think mainly this past year. And I just think it's so cool that we're finally kind of changing the conversation a little bit.
Yes. And I think that you have a tremendous platform to use, a vehicle, because you've got the attention of so many people and young people who are going through many challenges, highs and lows. And many artists have just recently, in the last few years, started to reveal a part of themselves that, you know, 20 years ago, they would never think about talking about personal vulnerabilities, personal subjects. But now people are appreciating the platform that you have and the influence. You're a role model. Whether you like it or not, whether you chose it or not, because you are a public person, people listen to you. So, you know, good for you. Congratulations. I'm very, you know, glad that you're involved with these campaigns and that you're willing to speak out for them.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yes, Cassie Joy is our guest. And before we go, I want to make sure that everybody has a way to find you, because we're on in so many different countries worldwide. How do people find Cassie Joy? How do they get the new music? You know, where do they find your tour stops?
Yeah, so the easiest place to start would just be CassieJoy.com. And if you don't remember how to spell my name, one, that's my mother's fault, but it is casino without the no at a joy.com. But I'm on all of the social media, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, at Cassie Joy Music. And that's where you can find all my shenanigans. I keep my story pretty updated with my crazy life and, of course, lots of dog moments. So, yeah, definitely follow me on there.
Is there a story behind the name Cassie? Is it short for something, or is it, is there a significance? Does mom tell you why she named you Cassie?
Well, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but so my brother, I have an older brother and older sister, Corey and Callie, and it's CoryCali. And my mom was just really adamant about having us have four letter C word names, but not that word that you're born. And so, yeah, it's kind of been, it's been sad for me my whole life that like I can never find a keychain with my name on it, but my dad did have one made, so I'm happy. And then Joy is actually my middle name, so it's my actual real name. I get asked that quite a bit.
Uh-oh. Well, it's not listed, I hope. Cassie Joy, before you go, one last opportunity for you to talk to the troops who are tuned in. You may have a message for the troops who watch. and also our worldwide audience who are meeting you for the first time, perhaps some who already knew you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, first off, I mean, thank you from the bottom of my heart to the brave men and women who are serving. I mean, we cannot thank you enough for just your sacrifices and for serving this country so that we're able, so I'm able to do stuff like this. You know, I'm so grateful that I get to pursue my actual dream and that I'm not just working to die and to pay bills, you know, and that is because of the brave men and women who are serving and fighting for our country. So thank you so much. And thank you so much to the viewers. I hope you've enjoyed it, and spread joy.
Absolutely. She's spreading joy, Cassie Joy, and look for her new album in the year ahead. And you can find her on her websites. Thank you so much, Cassie, for joining us.
Yeah. Thank you so much. This was super fun.
It's great to have you on the program. My name is Larry London. You have been watching Border Crossings on VOA TV.